Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to On the Couch with Dr. Michelle, right here on LA Talk Radio.
This is Dr. Michelle Cohen, and you are officially on the couch. Welcome, everybody. Yep, another great show for you today. You're going to learn a lot about yourself and why you do the things you do in a relationship to destroy it, possibly. How to work through things, or not. But how to get a wiser divorce. What? I said the D word? Oh my God. She did. She actually said the D word. Listen, this is Dr. Michelle with you, and I've been doing couples therapy for over 15 years. Not too long in many people's eyes, but enough to know that a lot of people benefit from it. A lot of folks learn how to communicate better, and they try to understand why their partners act defensively. Usually in couples therapy, I try to teach folks how to learn better habits on how to relate, basically. And sometimes folks fall back into old habits. And then couples come in for what I call brush-up sessions to reaffirm some of the communication and, you know, those principles of understanding and empathy. Why they said that? Where were they coming from? Okay, don't blame them. Allow. Let someone be who they are, but try to talk nice. And some of the common arguments are over finances, right? How to bring up the kids, domestic duties, not knowing how to communicate when you're stressed, avoiding intimacy and not putting down the computer, shut your phone off, and oh yeah, a biggie that I hear all the time is allowing the in-laws or your own parents and family members to interfere and kind of drive your relationship crazy and split you two, as we call it. It's calling splitting. Well, he said that. Well, you said that. Well, you shouldn't do that. Well, everybody has their own opinion. You have to just kind of let everybody's opinion go and work on your own relationship with yourself and your partner as well. And, you know, also some people attempt to cure all ailments. And I hear this all the time. All their ailments of a marriage with sex. Well, we'll just, you know, have a drink and we'll chill out and we'll have a good sex and then we'll feel better. Yeah. For however long that takes. And then you have to sit up and talk to each other. Or not. Or wake up and talk to each other, whatever. So you probably heard me say that we can all choose how we react when somebody treats us badly, right? You can make the hard choices to get others involved. You can make a radical choice to change your lifestyle, even if your spouse doesn't change with you. You can get therapy. You can choose to think differently. You basically have the power over your reactions. That's what I always say. You have the power over your thoughts. We can't control anybody else. Well, we can control our children, of course, and put them in time out, or try to. Take away the goodies, unless they do things that we'd like them to do and behave and act thoughtful to others and all that. But we really don't have power over other adults. We can't change people. We can allow them to do what they need to do. But we can change our minds, our feelings, our thoughts, our behaviors. And, you know, we can change how we do bad habits. Yeah. We can change who we spend time with. You know, we're not usually helpless. We are rational beings who can choose to change and react the way we should, probably in a healthy manner. There's a great quote that I always use. It's, everything can be taken from a person, but one thing, the last of human freedoms, to choose our attitude in any given set of circumstances, right? So you've heard the old, did you take Psych 101, guys out there? You know, you learn, it's okay, it's all good. It's a really tedious class, by the way. The first psych class is like, this stuff's heavy, I don't know if I want to do this. But between stimulus and response, right? Stimulus and response. There's a space, right? And in that space is our power to choose our response. And in our response lies our growth and our freedom. So it is evident to me sometimes, though, that some folks just don't want to try and work out their problems. Even though they show up for therapy, they still go back to blame and old angry habits and old drama that they're both used to acting out. And I always call it being addicted to those high emotions. They get addicted. They're neural patterns. Woo! Yeah, let's go. Those endorphins kick. They're feeling good. Woohoo! I love to fight and scream. Oh, I feel so much better. I got it out. But what that only does, actually, is train the brain to argue more. So, you know, it's some people really are not willing to work on it. Not all couples can be open to change. And the ugliness can go on for months or years until they reach their limit. And so they decide to get a divorce. And, you know, that's the way it goes. We've all seen it. Most of us have seen somebody in the middle of an ugly divorce. You know? And so today we're going to be talking about the wiser divorce. And hopefully you're going to learn how it's possible to minimize the hostility when you're going through a divorce, how to collaborate with your ex-spouse to give your kids a brighter future. Hello, think of the kids. And, you know, learn about some of the common mistakes that we all make when we decide to get a divorce. And that's the way it usually is. I also invite you guys to call in if you have any questions or comments. Today, the number here is 323-203-0815, 323-203-0815. If you're shy, you don't want to get your voice on the air, you can sure go ahead and email me. Right here at the station, Doc Michelle, D-O-C Michelle with two L's at AOL. And ask a question for me or my special guest who I'm bringing on the air in moments. She is amazing. It's attorney Angie Hollier. She's the founder and managing partner of Hollier and Lawrence PLC. Actually, it's ranked the number one family law firm in Arizona. Her practice includes couples divorce, legal separation, business issues, incident to divorce, spousal maintenance, just to name a few. She's also been named a super lawyer by superlawyers.com every year since 2007. She's the top 10 attorney award winners from the National Academy of Family Law Attorneys. And today we are going to be talking about her latest book. It's called The Wiser Divorce, Positive Strategies for Your Next Best Life. What a great title. Let's welcome her. Hey, Angie, nice to have you on the air with me. How are you doing today?
Great. Hello. Wonderful to be here.
Oh, listen, that's a great book you wrote. What a nice, practical, and, may I say, psychologically savvy book.
Why, thank you, doctor.
No, I mean, really, you've been there and done that, though, with so many clients, I'm sure. And you know what you're talking about. So good.
Yeah,
book.
It's been almost 25 years of divorcing people, so I have had hundreds of divorces.
Oh, my goodness. Wow. Well, you're equipped to do it, and again, the book it's excellent. You know, I was writing the questions, I was reading your book and going through it, and the only question that I left out is probably one of the most important, which is rather obvious, but nonetheless needs to be asked. Why did you write this book?
You know what? I absolutely believe that your life after your divorce can be the very best part of your life. And that doesn't make sense to people who are in the midst of divorces going through it, but I've seen it happen. And I wanted to share with people the strategies that can make that next best part of their life great.
Well said. And it does. It really does point out, you know, ideas and steps. And of course, great legal information that you share from all of your experience doing hundreds of divorces.
Exactly. There really are strategies that people can employ as they go through this that will make all the difference emotionally, financially, and for their future.
Yeah, exactly. What I really liked is you talk about the top 10 lies that divorcing people tell themselves. So I'd love you to share some of the most important lies with these listeners.
Well, you know, one of them is that my divorce is unique. You wouldn't believe how many times people tell me, oh, you have never seen anything like this. Well, actually, I have. So, you know, that's important for people to understand that this happens to a lot of people. And if you have a trusted attorney, they'll help you through it. Some of the other ones are the divorce is all my soon-to-be ex's fault, or the divorce process will make my soon-to-be ex pay for his or her wrongs. That's not the way this is set up. And, you know, if you go through your divorce wanting to get revenge, you might as well dig two graves. Right? Or I don't have to change my life or my attitudes. Yes, you're going to have to change your life, but it can be for the better. Or everyone in my life must choose sides. That is a lie. It's not right. And by the way, no one will ever tell you at the end of your divorce that you were right.
That's right. Oh, it's so true. You know, it's just, and there really are so many assumptions that people make. And it's just denial. Guys, get real. You know, start to get healthy and figure out how you're going to proceed with this divorce and make the best plans possible.
Part of that is you have to live with the choices you made, too. I mean, you can't blame everything on the other person. Whether you chose to stay or you're the one who chose to leave, whatever happened, you know what? It's something that happened in life. Accept it and now make your next best choices.
Yeah, exactly. I love the one of the top 10 lies divorcing people tell themselves. You say, somebody somehow someday will tell me I'm right.
Right. You know, usually they think the supreme commander of justice, otherwise known as the judge, is going to declare their virtues. And it doesn't work that way, unfortunately.
It doesn't. You know, you've been there and done that. And you know, judges, period. That's all I'm going to say.
Right.
dot. Oh, man. You really emphasize hiring the right attorney. And it is one of the most important decisions, you say, that divorcing people can do. Why is that so important, Angie?
Well, the attorney you hire will be your strategic ally, right? So this is your right-hand gal or guy as you go through this. And the decision about who you hire will impact the cost of your divorce, the emotional tone of your divorce, the future of your kids, and the likelihood of you moving on. And it's important that people choose the right attorney for them, not the one that was best for their friend or their neighbor, because attorneys have distinctly different personalities and approaches. It's really the person you need to be standing by you, and you need to trust them throughout this whole process.
Those are really big points, you know, trust and standing by you. And, you know, in every profession, it's always nice to have, you know, the right fit, as we call it. Yeah, I have clients who've come in and said, I don't know if we're the right fit. I don't want directive therapy. I don't want someone to give me suggestions. I want you to just sit there with your mouth closed and let me dump for 1 hour. And I say, okay, you know, that's lovely. And bless you. And I'll give you a psychoanalytic therapist who will do that. And how does that make you feel? And that's good, because that is helpful to many people. But you're right, Angie. So you do touch on some of the attorneys' styles that you might sort of watch out for a little bit. You might sort of not want to go into certain places if an attorney says certain things or indicates certain things.
Right. Well, you know, and I suggest people interview more than one attorney. I mean, this is a really important decision, so do that. But if an attorney makes you scared, makes you feel like you're asking stupid questions, you know, makes a sexual advance, that happens sometimes. These are all really good tips to not go any further. But, you know, good attorneys will help you identify reasonable goals. And then it's really that attorney job to get you to that goal. They'll help talk to you about the cost. They'll give you honest advice, whether you want to hear it or not. And you really should listen, because, again, we've been through hundreds of these, and we get how it's going to play out at the end. You don't, because this may be your first or second or only third divorce. And you want an attorney who has a lot of different personalities, and I mean that honestly. You want someone that, when it's right to use honey, they can use honey. They know when to be assertive, but you don't want those bulldogs, because they just... They ruin, quite honestly, your life, and they take all your money.
Wow, and that's a really good word. I like bulldogs, you know, but it's true. It's almost like bullying. There is negotiations. Having some kind of mediation is the name of the game, I think, many times. You have to have the right person who knows the mix of when to hold him and when to fold him.
You got it.
You know. And besides hiring the right attorney, you talk about some of the other ways that that you suggest that people wise up. Wise up! Snap out of it! about their divorce.
Right, right.
What are some of those?
One of them is understand and accept who your spouse is and isn't. Mm. It is amazing the number of people, as they walk through their divorce, mm-hmm. who just say, I don't understand why he does that.
Yeah.
Why is he doing this? Well, he is the same guy you were married to for those 20 years. He hasn't changed. So, you know, when you go through the process, accept,
yes. This
is the person I'm divorcing.
Mm-hmm.
And that will help you move on. Mm-hmm. And as we talked about, you have to know when to compromise and when to fight, and what to compromise and what to fight about.
Yeah.
It's really not about winning. It's what can you live with.
Yes.
You know, other things to be wiser about are being honest with your attorney. Mm-hmm. A good attorney will take even bad things and mm-hmm. twist them to be good for you in a way.
Yes.
But if you're not honest, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Bad news.
No.
Bad news.
That's really true.
You want to follow your attorney's advice. Mm-hmm. Follow their advice. Mm-hmm. Follow their advice. I mean,
yes.
That's why
you
hired them. And I think most importantly out of all of this is you've got to look to the future. You really have to keep focused on what that goal is out there instead of what went on in the past.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's so true. And I loved when you said, Angie, you said, you married him.
Right. And you know what? Yeah. And no court or anyone else involved in the divorce is going to just give you credit for being the good one throughout. I mean, that's not what it's about. These were your choices, and this is where you are now, and move on.
Yep. Yep. There you go. Having talked about kind of helping couples, and we'll talk about getting them together to bring their best self to the divorce, behave. You've also seen that some soon-to-be ex-husbands, they just don't get it. We just talked about some we just try. They don't get it. You have a list of some of the most problematic types of soon-to-be exes, or STB exes, as you say.
Right. You're STB ex.
And
STB ex can be the gal, too, you know.
Yeah,
but
sure,
but,
of course, of course.
You know, one of the most common problematics is the cheat or the liar.
Oof.
You know, when the divorce happens because of someone cheating or lying, for the person who was cheated against or you know, learns the lie, it puts them in a mindset of this entire marriage was a lie.
Yeah.
They start digging backwards. What else wasn't true? Now I have to look at every ATM withdrawal for the last 10 years.
Oh, boy.
You know, it's really difficult.
Sure.
So, you know, I tell those spouses who have been cheated on or lied to, you know, you've got to separate those acts from the rest of what you know about the person, because there was probably some good. It doesn't mean everything's a lie. And it will cost you so much if you want to relive every single thing in your marriage and find the bad spots.
Yep.
Right. And by the way, if you were the person that was the betrayer, you know what? You gave up your right to be offended about being met with suspicion.
Yeah, there you go. You know? Well said. It's true. It's true.
You know, you also have the rich and famous big shot.
I like
when
that
they're
one.
On the other. Yeah. Yeah, that's tough when they're on the other side of the case, because if they're wealthy or well known, you know, you're going to feel sometimes like you're nothing.
Mm-hmm.
They have plenty of money to throw at their problems. A lot of times they're a narcissist, and you're just part of a pawn on their chessboard. They're going to do deal makings.
Yep.
You need an attorney that can help guide you through that.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. You also
list... Then we have the Taliban.
Oh, I like that one, too. That's a good one. You're so funny.
Yeah, I call them the Taliban because, really, you know, you cannot... They're not rational.
Right.
They're not reasonable.
Right.
They insist on control.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll never figure out their motives or their beliefs because they're not rational.
Mm-hmm. That's true. You just sort of have to stop trying to figure out how they're going to zig and zag and just go through with the most effective compromising divorce you can.
Absolutely. And then, you know, there's the abusers, and those are tough because usually people divorcing an abuser are, you know, beat down.
Oh, and yes.
Have become so unhealthy themselves, too. That's, you know, you want an attorney who really is in tune with the power plays and cycle of abuse and can help you get healthy from the abuse so you can walk through the divorce.
That is so important. And, of course, you also list, you know, folks who have addiction issues and are, you know, mentally ill, which most people who have, as we call them, Axis 1 disorders can be managed by medications, but not, many not, you know, many are not willing to take meds or whatever. And it's very hard when you're dealing also with someone who is mentally ill because you don't live in their mind and you don't know how they're going to react in certain situations. It's very unpredictable. So that's also something that you list here.
Yeah, and that's especially tricky when there's children involved.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and if you're a parent, I mean, some parents who have mental issues certainly can parent appropriately on meds, but if you're the other parent, you have every right to make sure that you have some kind of monitoring or reporting system to ensure they're compliant, either with rehab treatments or their meds.
Oh, yeah, that's for sure. And, you know, that is brought up. I mean, that really is brought up a lot of times. And it can be unfair to certain individuals who, you know, cannot manage their mental illness even on meds. But, I mean, it's a reality, you know. It's a reality. And it's kind of sad.
And there's sometimes a tendency to still feel sorry for them, you know.
Yeah,
because if you were the person married to them, you were probably doing everything. And you were the caregiver. And, you know, you've got to realize that's not going to happen anymore and hope they have the best life they can have, you know?
Yeah, it's so true. You know, I've seen a lot of folks come into my office who either one of the partners has, you know, like the anger management issues or, you know, the manic part of the bipolar one or two. And it's just, there's no harnessing that unless you're really on some serious medications. And it's really hard to live with that. And you know, like you said, as much as you feel sorry for that person, you just have to make up your mind about, are you willing to expose your children and the rest of your life to this? It's very tough.
Right, right.
Yeah. But guys, if you just tuned in here to LA Talk Radio, you're on the couch with Dr. Michelle. And my special guest today is attorney Angie Hollier. She's the founder and managing partner of Hollier and Lawrence PLC, which is ranked the number one family law firm in Arizona. She's an award-winning attorney. And has been named a super lawyer by superlawyers.com every year since 2007. Many more accolades. Today, we're talking to her about her latest book. It's called The Wiser Divorce, Positive Strategies. And I love this, Angie, for your next best life. Yeah.
Yeah.
Love that. Good stuff. So you're a big proponent of the collaborative divorce. What does this mean, and why do you prefer this model?
Yeah, you know, this is a great model. It's a team approach, and I explain it as a series of, like, executive board meetings. Mm-hmm. Each side has an attorney. Each side has a mental health provider divorce coach.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's one financial neutral that, you know, gets all the financial stuff together, and there's a child specialist. And so each spouse is led through some work with their coaches before we even start negotiating the settlement to get the emotional junk off the table, to help them communicate and listen to each other, many times in ways they have not done in years in their marriage, I might say, and establishing joint intentions or goals for their divorce. And then there's a series of meetings, and we go through different scenarios for resolving all the issues. And really, I mean, in these divorces, I have had people hug at the end of them. They're the best divorces I do.
Wow. Yeah, that's lovely. That's just lovely. And that, you know, it's like, wow, I did my job. It's all good.
Right.
Collaborative.
And people think it costs so much. I mean, they hear this whole thing, oh my gosh, there's so many experts involved. But, you know, what they don't realize is it is many times less expensive to use this group approach and get your case done in three or four meetings than to go on a year and a half with two attorneys fighting with each other. So while it may cost a little more at the beginning, it usually saves money in the end.
Yes, and psychological problems and future problems for everyone else, for that matter, you know? It makes a
lot
of sense.
You're right.
Yeah.
The studies show that they've done so far is that people return to court less once they've done a collaborative divorce, because if they have kids, they've learned to communicate if it's just for the purpose of their kids, so they are able to hash things out between themselves without running back to their attorney. So it is really a positive trend.
Wow. Yeah, it really is good. It's wonderful. By the way, in case you just tuned in here, you're on the couch with Dr. Michelle. That's me, guys. We're talking about the book called The Wiser Divorce, Positive Strategies for Your Next Best Life. And my special guest is attorney Angie Hollier. She wrote the book and helping you out, guys, about collaborative divorces and how to do the right thing if you're considering divorce after all is said and done and you can't do no more and you want to just go forward with it. And you know, you suggest that divorce should be a series of strategic decisions, right? So, and this is part of the collaborative thing that you just talked about, and helping us rebuild, you know, our new life going forward. You say that the first step is to make a decision to divorce strategically, not emotionally. Now, what's the difference between those two?
Right. Well, you know, you have to look at your words and your behaviors and your attitudes, and you really have to focus on the positive instead of the negative, and that is so hard for people as they're going through the divorce.
Oh, yeah.
I sometimes tell them, think of your divorce as a house with a series of rooms.
Yeah.
One of the rooms you'll be in with me
right.
is the attorney room, right?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
This is the room where we go through the business of the divorce. The emotions, the anger, those are in another room, and go see Dr. Michelle when you need, you know,
sure.
so she can
there
deal
you
with
go.
Those, right?
There you go.
But come with me into this room, and you know, you got to think, what will it take for me to be successful at this?
Yes.
How am I going to mentally prepare? Who do I want around me to help me?
Yes.
What knowledge do I need? You know, these are the things that will help you get away from the emotions and move into the positive strategies.
Yes. Yeah, that's exactly right. These are the things that, you know, you try to help the folks, you know, sort of control. I was talking about this at the beginning of the show, Angie, controlling your emotions, trying to think before you respond. Think before you say something, you know, the wrong response. We're all human. We all have feelings, and we do react to things that trigger us, whether it's from old stuff or the same old stuff. You just really have to try to manage it strategically.
Right, and
not
the
go
more
there.
You know this, the more you think it and the more you act it, the more you become it.
Yep.
So if you make a conscious choice, for instance, not to tell everyone you know and your hairdresser what a loser this soon-to-be ex is, you know what, then you're not putting out that negative, you're putting the positive. If you only have a few very close confidants that you say, you know, you bare your soul to, but you don't bare it to the world, you're really already changing the dynamic of your divorce.
Yeah, exactly. You're so right. It's so true. You know, you write some stories about people, and this is always in a really good book, real stories about real people and their situations, because not only do you get information, legal help, self-help stuff in this book, but you also get great stories. And I really enjoyed reading about that couple that you were sitting with who started acting out every bad old pattern that they developed. You said, I love, you're so cool, Angie. You said, when your client, I'm quoting here, when your client and her soon-to-be ex began to squabble and name call, you stood up and shouted, "You both sound like babies. I'm not going to sit here and listen to you act out the dysfunction from your marriage." Yahoo! Wish we had more attorneys like you.
Their mouths dropped.
I bet they did.
But, you know, I mean, after all these years of being a divorce attorney, you do get kind of bold and bossy, you know?
Exactly. Exactly.
Are people acting out? I like to think about it this way. Are you acting the way you want people to see you? Like, your friend has a crisis, what do they turn to you for? What do you give people in crisis that make them admire you? I mean, bring that to your divorce.
Yeah, exactly. Bring that in there, guys. You know, I like the way you also threatened to leave unless they made an effort to break the old patterns, you know, so it's like,
you know, I have a lot of divorces on my plate. If you don't want to play it the right way, then I'll move on to someone who does.
That's right. Exactly. Oh, my goodness. And, You know, most people would agree that the kids always come first. My goodness, in a divorce. So what are some of the ways that divorcing parents can kind of mess up their kids during the divorce? And so these poor little souls don't end up on my couch, you know?
Right. You see this, a lot of this, yeah. I'm sure, because it is so tough for people who say, you know, people tell me all day, I want to put my kids first. My kids are my number one priority. Yeah. But in the heat of their divorce and their own emotion, they mess kids up. And you just step back and look at it, you know, speaking poorly of the other parent or letting others speak poorly of the other parent in front of the children, I mean, you're devaluing your child when you devalue that other parent.
Yeah.
You know, I say tell them why you're getting divorced because you get extra points for gory details on that.
Yeah. Yes, exactly.
Right. Yeah. Argue about the divorce in front of them.
Yeah,
or
exactly.
Send messages through them to the other parent.
Oh, my God, yes. It's so wrong to pit those children in the middle of it. And one of the things that I have to keep reiterating to couples or individuals who are divorcing or divorced and they share custody is do not say anything bad about your ex. Do not say, well, daddy doesn't do it like I do. Do not try to be their good friend. Do not split, as we call it in psychology. Don't split. I'm the good guy, he's the bad guy. It really confuses the poor kids. They don't need to hear this. You know, they don't need to know your adult issues. Because mommy and daddy just can't get along right now. And we love you more than anything in the world. And we'll always take care of you. But we just kind of can't work. Do you think that kind of verbalization is the best, Angie?
Yeah, it is. You know, if you really do love your children above anything else, you will give them the gift they want most in a divorce, which is that they see their parents together in the future, and they see their parents acting respectfully to each other in the future, because then they know they still have a family. It's just a different looking family. Yeah. If you really care about your kids, you give them that gift.
Yes. Yeah. That's exactly right. Guys, if you want to call in here, you can do so. If you have any questions or comments for my special guest today, her name's Angie Hollier. She's a brilliant attorney. She's written the book, The Wiser Divorce, Positive Strategies for Your Next Best Life. That number here is 323-203-0815, 323-203-0815, or you can email me at docmichelle@aol.com. I have a couple of emails coming in here, and one sounds very interesting to me. Shall we give it a shot here, Angie, and see if we can give some advice to this person here?
Yes.
Right. She calls herself Ms. X. Okay. I appreciate that. She said, I just filed for divorce because I found out that my husband had been cheating on me for about 2 years with the same woman. Every time he goes to Florida, he's with her. I actually hired a private detective and have a lot of incriminating evidence of him going into hotel rooms, a lot of PDAs, public displays of affection. I guess that's what she's talking about, with this woman. A lot of incriminating evidence that could really get him in trouble. I live in California and want to know how much this might affect my custody rights and what I get financially. I guess she's talking about the video evidence. So
Right. Well, and you know I am licensed in Arizona, not in California, so
that's
I'm going
right.
to speak generally
okay.
because I can't give direct advice there. But, you know, typically what matters is how that parent interacts with the children, okay?
Yes.
So, for instance, if he has been exposing your children to a significant other during the marriage, that's not good.
Yes.
The mere fact he strayed, you know, quite honestly, doesn't have a lot to do with his ability to parent.
Hmm, interesting.
I mean, you would think it would, right? Oh, he's a scoundrel and he did this to me, but it really comes down to how he parents. And I absolutely understand getting the private detective. I mean, that's sometimes really important because you need that proof, you know?
Right, exactly.
But, you know, it may affect finances to some extent if there was a lot of money spent on the other person.
Yeah.
That could, but you know what? It just doesn't impact custody that much.
Wow. Okay.
Unless he's neglecting the children when they're with him to be with her, you know, things like that.
Yes. Great advice. Great advice. Miss X, I wish you all the luck in the world, and I'm so sorry, you know, you're going through this and having to deal with this. But as, you know, my special guest here, Attorney Angie Hollier, said earlier in the show, interview several attorneys and get the best person for you. Get the best fit person for you. All right. Thank you so much for sharing your information, and I wish you all the best. Thanks also, Angie, for helping her out with that. We actually have a caller on the line. Shall we take this one?
Sure.
Hi, you're on the air with Dr. Michelle and also attorney Angie Hollier. Who's this?
Hey, Dr. Michelle and Angie. My name's Edward. How you guys doing?
Hi, Edward. Doing well. What's going on?
So I listen to your show every week, Doc. I love it. I use it to reference a lot of what's going on in my life. And if that's all right, I just had a question for Angie about my... Well, my wife, I'm going through some marriage problems, and we do have a 3-year-old, almost 4-year-old baby girl.
Okay.
And Angie, everything you guys are talking about, I feel like my wife and I need to work on. I always told her not to raise her voice around Angelica, and... that's our daughter, and she does not listen to me. She will yell. She will scream. I will ask her so kindly, you know, you can't do this, honey. She's going to pick this up. I know the kind of things that happens to children when they're exposed to violence and anger and negative energy as in their youth.
Sure.
Angie, what can I say to my wife? I love her with all of my heart, but it kills me, Angie. It kills me when I see my baby girl crying every time mommy screams. And I start to raise my voice, but then I have to stop. I have to stop. And she antagonizes me.
And the doctor may pipe in here too, but you know, I think maybe confronting her with facts about studies. There have been studies done that have followed children throughout their lives and look at their success as adults, which would indicate that one of the number one predictors of a child's healthiness in a future life is the level of conflict they experienced when they were a child. So, you know, sometimes you need to get divorced or separated if you can't keep the conflict away from the children. And I'm not necessarily saying that at all you should do that, but perhaps if you're confronting her with the actual facts that what you're doing right now is going to have long-lasting effects on the success of this child you made together out of love, that might help.
Yes, I've told her this. I haven't shown her studies. That's an amazing idea, Angie. I'm definitely going to do that. But I told her this.
Yeah.
I said, you don't know the kind of emotional scarring that you're giving her at this age, you know?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Well, listen, so, yeah, that was a brilliant answer, and I honestly couldn't add anything more to that. I think Angie is right on. Edward?
Yes.
Yeah. And
I just
take her to some couples therapy, you guys, please. Get some couples therapy. Teach her how to, you know, work on her issues. Encourage her to go to individual therapy to work on her unresolved anger that she may have and what's triggering her to act like this toward her child, projecting, you know, her own stuff onto her child. And it's tough being in your situation, being the guy in the middle and trying to mediate everything. So I wish you all the best of luck in the world. And if you are, I don't know where you're from, but great reference is psychologytoday.com.
I just said I'm in St. Louis.
Okay, great. Psychologytoday.com will find you your specialist. You can read all about them and get more information on them. And I wish you all the luck in the world. And thank you so much for calling in, Edward.
Thank you guys so much, Angie. I really appreciate all your help, Dr. Michelle. I love the show. I can't thank you guys enough. I'm definitely going to find some studies and print them out and just really show her the kind of effect that her negativity and anger is really going to cause on our baby, Angelica.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. All right. Take good care. Bless you.
Thanks.
All right. Yeah, that's a tough situation to be in. Poor guy, you know. It's really, really a bad place to be. More of a psychological question, nonetheless. Good advice for him. You know, we're talking today, by the way, to Angie Hollier. She's a really top-rated, excellent attorney. Specializes in divorce. The Wiser Divorce is her latest book, Positive Strategies for Your Next Best Life. And it's kind of moving on, getting over a lot of the stuff. Now you've decided to divorce. You're going to do what you're going to do and take care of yourself and get the best help you can. You know, speaking about which, you know, here we are in the age of social media. And I always, when I work with couples or, you know, individuals, I hear how many of them share all the details of their divorce on Instagram or Twitter or blogs or, you know, all the social media. And again, I think they're trying to gather their support system or their allies. So what advice do you give to divorcing couples about this?
Well, you know what? Just don't.
Yeah, okay? Yeah, there you go, girl.
Don't. Yeah. Refrain from posting online any details about your divorce, your soon-to-be ex, or any topic that could impact your divorce. I mean, that's a rule.
Yeah.
It's not a suggestion. I mean, first of all, other people are going to see it. It could be your coworkers, your children's friends' parents, your children. I mean, nothing is really private. I don't care what you tell me your privacy settings are.
Yeah.
Somebody's going to find it.
Right.
Right? So, I mean, in Arizona and other states as well, there's some growing trends in court rulings that curtail a parent's right of free speech on social media in order to protect the children.
Yes. So, that's wonderful.
Yeah.
Help those kids.
Really important. And then, you know what, people just sabotage themselves. You know, people say they need spousal maintenance because their back is so bad they can't stand to work, but then they have a dating website that says they like to take long hikes.
Yeah, exactly.
People do these things all day, or, you know, I mean, stay off the dating websites.
Yeah.
Don't tell the whole world your stuff. It's just foolish, and attorneys will look for this stuff all day. And,
That's right.
Judges may think, if you don't have the good sense to keep your private stuff private,
right?
And if you're out there like this, judges, if you have to go to court, may determine you don't make good judgments in other areas as well.
Well, that's something to think about as well. That really is. And, you know, it's out there, so it is legal in court to show some of these Instagram pictures of you with all these men or the guys with all these women in clubs and, you know, those making out pictures and things like that. That's kind of fair game, right?
Absolutely fair game. Mm. And it is a violation in some states of criminal codes and in some states of the civil rules to try to get rid and scrub your electronic history.
Yeah,
right? So if you
exactly.
post something there, you're in trouble if you try to take it off and you're in the middle of a divorce.
Oh, yeah. Why did you try to remove this particular information? Because we found it. You know?
Right, right.
So,
and, you know, the other thing I tell people, especially if there's domestic violence, I mean, if you check in places, if you're posting things about your life, I mean, that's fodder for the stalker.
Oh, that sure is. Absolutely. And that's really creepy. Really creepy, scary stuff. But you're putting it out there, and it really is. So you have to really be mindful and careful about everything you do in social media, especially when you're going through problems. I have a lot of young adults I see, and they have to tweet everything or show Instagram pictures of, you know, all the different guys and women in you know, guys' cases that they're seeing and, you know, how great their night was and what they're doing. And, oh, God, just be really careful, folks, when you're getting a divorce or you're separating, even when you're having issues in the past. Be careful of what you're posting. It's so important. It's a great, great thing to point out. Real fast here, you know, you do mention, and I do want to share with folks how they can find you and get in touch with you in just a bit. In your book, The Wiser Divorce, Angie Hollier, there are some attorneys' pet peeves that you list. And I think folks need to have a little bit of a heads up about, you know, clients who hire you but don't take your advice. You know?
Well, right. And, I mean, listen, the pet peeves can be long, but it's those people who don't put their children first.
Yep.
It's people who do not listen to our advice. It's the people who, like, some people just check out. You know,
yeah.
this is so hard for them. And they check out during the process, and they wake up at the end, and they wonder how they spent so much money on their attorneys.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They wonder why they got what they got.
Yes.
They haven't looked at their bills. I mean, you really, attorneys
right.
want you to look at our bills.
Yes. Yes.
We make mistakes. This costs a lot. You're charged for your time, not
mm-hmm.
your results.
Mm-hmm.
So that's really important. You know,
yes.
some other pet peeves are maybe the people who, like, you come to work in the morning and you have 10 emails that are
yes.
10 paragraphs long.
Yes, right? Thank you. Yes.
So I suggest to people, look, you know, your attorneys are there to give you advice, but it's hard with all the emails today,
sure.
and it takes,
sure.
you know, sometimes you need this real interaction. So call and make an appointment to see your attorney or call them on the phone. I think that we're, and I'm a little off topic of what you asked me, but we're really getting to the point where too much of this divorce work
yeah.
is being done in writing.
Yes.
And it's tough for you to really understand and interact with your attorney when
yeah.
you're doing it all electronically.
Yes. It really is difficult. It really is sometimes. So those are great tips. Really excellent. My favorite one is clients who believe you have a vial of fairy dust and that you can sprinkle to make everything okay. It's a good one.
It's you know, one. People sometimes think you'll just solve everything, that every mess they created, you
yeah.
will magically be able to resolve. And gosh,
yep.
I hope I resolve a lot of people's messes, but and I wish I had that magic, but I
yeah.
don't.
Yeah, no one does. No one
right.
does. How is the best way to get a hold of you? Where can people get your book and find out more about you?
Okay, so the book is on Amazon, mm-hmm. but also you can get it through AngieHallier.com.
Great.
That's AngieHallier.com. Or our law firm website is HallierLaw.com.
Beautiful. And by the way, in case you haven't heard or you just tuned in, you can listen to the show. Tomorrow we'll be up in the archives with all the information on how to get a hold of and get Angie's book, which is The Wiser Divorce, Positive Strategies for Your Next Best Life. This is a great book. It helps you out psychologically, legally. Very well written, step by step, gives you some important case information about people that Angie's dealt with. So it's a great read, folks. I really highly recommend it. Angie Hollier, thank you so much for being such a great guest on the show today. Just terrific.
Oh, thank you so much. It's been a delight.
Helpful to a lot of people, and keep on doing it, girl. Keep up your
thank
good
you.
Work. Thanks for all you do for everyone.
Oh, thank you, and you too.
Thanks. Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.
All right. Again, Angie Hollier, she's a wonderful attorney, and she will, you know, enlighten you in her latest book, The Wiser Divorce. So if you want to learn a little bit more about getting a healthy divorce, if you've decided, okay, we're going to do it. We're going to go through it. Read the book. The best thing you can do for yourself. Give you a heads up on how to do it the right way. All right. This is Dr. Michelle Cohen, and I'm going to get off the couch here. You can stay here on LA Talk Radio. More great shows coming up for you. I'll be back next week. We're going to be talking about marriages. Not to divorce, to marriage, and working through that. All right. Thanks for listening, everybody. And as I always say, do take care of yourself first, and then you will be great for others. That's the way it works in the world. Bye-bye now.